I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast. Coming up on this week's edition, we'll hear from the Spurs boss, Andre Villas-Boas, as we look ahead to the Premier League's big games. We've also got an exclusive interview with the former England defender, Neil Ruddock. And we'll look back on an extraordinary Test Series win for England in India. Well, Russell Hargreaves kindly joins me now. And Russ, some intriguing Premier League games ahead. I want to start with the game at the DW Stadium, the Saturday lunchtime kickoff, which is Wigan against Arsenal. It's been a strange couple of weeks for Arsenal. That abject defeat at Bradford City in the League Cup, followed by a good win at Reading, a 5-2 victory. But again, another game where they didn't look entirely comfortable the whole way through.
Yeah, I think on the whole, Kev, they were relatively comfortable against Reading. There was a slightly iffy 15-20 minute spell where the Royals came back, but that aside, they were scoring goals and cutting their opponents, you know, apart at will. So I think Arsenal will take a decent amount of confidence into this particular game. And of course, as we well know, five of their young British players have all signed on for 4 and 5 year deals at the Emirates Stadium, and all reports coming out of Arsenal at the moment say that Theo Walcott probably will re-sign for another spell as well, which would make it basically their 6 top young British players that are coming through. That's got to give them confidence. Arsene Wenger's talking tough about bringing a couple more players in the January transfer window as well. We hear rumours of Demba Ba maybe being tempted away from Newcastle. That would be a huge signing if they could do it. So personally, I feel that despite, as you say, the Bradford furore and one or two other very, very disappointing results, the fact they didn't qualify top of their group in the Champions League and have been made to pay there with a tricky draw, I think they've got a very good chance of going on a good run now. So I'd firmly say that against a Wigan team that have slipped down the league quite badly ever since I saw them beat Spurs a few weeks ago, November the 3rd, they've not really delivered an awful lot, and they're in a bad run. So I fancy Arsenal to go there and get the result.
Well, let's get Arsene Wenger's reaction after that Monday night win at Reading.
I believe what was important was to show strength and play football. You know, success comes with playing football on the football pitch. And that's what we did. We focused on playing well. I believe we had a very convincing game tonight.
I'm glad you mentioned those five players signing in midweek. It struck me that that was a very carefully calculated PR statement, in the sense that there's a lot of fans that feel the club is directionless, a lot of fans that feel that Wenger doesn't have a firm hand on the tiller. They're worried about the future. It struck me that this was Arsenal saying, look, we've got a strong core of young British players. Let's take the club forward with them. All I would say to that is that four of those five British players were involved in that defeat at Bradford.
Yeah, this is true. And there is the argument, Kev, that some of them are not strictly first 11 players at the moment. Some are, of course, no question about Jack Wilshere for sure. But the likes, you know, of Aaron Ramsey and to a degree Kieran Gibbs with his injury problems, they're not regular starting 11 members week in, week out. I think Gibbs would be if he stays fit. And the other two as well, you know, promising players who I think will grow, particularly Oxlade-Chamberlain with his time at the club. And it would be nice to see Walcott, fingers crossed from their point of view, join them. And obviously Theo himself would be desperate to try and shove Podolski and Giroud slightly to one side. I'm sure he doesn't want Demba Ba to come because he wants to play down the middle.
Yeah, let's move on to Manchester City, the champions, hoping to cut the gap between themselves and the leaders Manchester United to 3 points on Saturday, at least for a little while, as they entertain struggling Reading. Has there ever been a Premier League game where a home win has looked more likely because Reading are in free fall, aren't they?
Yeah, easy win, Kev. And, you know, obviously Man City have got one or two problems with the likes of Sami Nasri struggling with injury and one or two issues with form. But I was glad to see Sergio Aguero come back and play well last weekend. Carlos Tevez as well. Goodness knows what's going to happen with Mario Balotelli. But I think with all the firepower they've got and with David Silva now properly fit and starting to get back to his best, easy, easy victory. And I hate to say it, really like Brian McDermott, I like what he's done, but I think Reading have got to get rid in the next couple of weeks and bring someone in with a bit more managerial Premier League experience. I harked back the other day in an analogy to when West Brom harshly got rid of Robbie Di Matteo, brought in Roy Hodgson, made all the difference. And I think if Reading are going to stand a chance of staying up, they need to do something similar.
Well, let's switch our attention to Tottenham's game against Stoke. Russell's been speaking to the Spurs boss, Andre Villas-Boas. His team have moved into the top four, and Villas-Boas is delighted that Gareth Bale is back from injury.
Obviously, he's an important player for us. You know, he can make a difference at any instant in the game. You saw how he was for us, for example, in the game against Liverpool, where he, you know, was outstanding. So, you know, players like him can decide a game for you. And, you know, for us, it's a tremendous boost, no doubt.
Andre, I want to ask you, obviously, about the excellent home form at the moment for Spurs. 5 wins in all competitions in a row and the base that can help build you since the Wigan loss at the start of last month.
Yeah, hopefully to continue. It's always difficult in the Premier League, as you know. Against Stoke, it won't be easy. You saw how persistent and patient we had to be to wait for our winning goal against Swansea. With Stoke, hopefully we win too, but I won't see the result as going to other level. You know, it will certainly be a very, very tight game. It will be important for us to keep on winning, but understanding that, you know, Stoke is on a magnificent run too. Home and away, so not an easy team to beat, definitely.
But in terms of the fortress that you can make White Hart Lane and the belief of the
players, yeah, I think so, and the confidence also. As the players approach those games, you know, they know their statistics too. They know our run at home, so I think they'll put the players at another level of confidence, hopefully.
Having Parker, Asuakoto, Bale and Dawson all back relatively soon and some now, your selection dilemmas, looking at the squad you had for the last game, could be quite interesting in quite a few
parts. It becomes more difficult. I mean, I think, you know, you recognise that as a coach you have to make decisions. The players understand that. We see by the indication that the players give us in training and playing, you know, to try to select the best for the team. Obviously, as options improve, the quality of the options improve for the manager. It means that players can be left out, and you know, you just have to make sure that they are there for the team, because we are striving for each other's best in every way.
And just finally from me, in terms of Peter Crouch, obviously still Stoke's top scorer, former Spurs man, but yeah, he's not actually featured that much in recent weeks, has he?
Yeah, recently a change. I mean, doesn't mean that Tony couldn't use, you know, that factor that he played here and knows the stadium well and knows this play as well, you know, to use it against us. So it's a decision that Tony has to take, but a player that is well respected as a goal scorer.
Well, that was AVB speaking to me earlier on this week. Got to say, I've been very impressed with him the couple of times I've spoken to him, Kev. I found him very, very polite and very courteous and full of some interesting chat and giving all the questions thrown at him their due diligence. So, he's someone who's come up massively in my estimation in recent weeks, having had the chance to speak to him a bit. A couple of big Sunday games, of course. Manchester United, as we mentioned, top of the table, but with City snapping at their heels again, away to Swansea.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, this, for United, because Swansea obviously have put in some really good displays in the last few weeks, most notably that 2-0 win at the Emirates. But I just have a feeling United are going to have too much firepower for them. Swansea have actually struggled at home under Michael Laudrup. They've suffered a lot of defeats, including a shock 4-3 reverse at home to Norwich last time out. They've not defended too well at home, so I actually think United are going to win that one and probably win it comfortably.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I suspect Chelsea, I've got a feeling that they are going to go on some kind of tear, not necessarily one perhaps to match them of their wonderful runs under the likes of Jose Mourinho, but I just think there is too much class in that squad, with maybe one or two players bought in, certainly one or two returning to form. They're at home to an Aston Villa side, Kev, who themselves have had a couple of decent wins, which is impressive given that the small and relatively sort of frugally assembled squad that they have.
Yeah, Villa have been on a decent run. They're 6 unbeaten since they were battered 5-0 at Man City. They've defended much better. They're scoring goals. But I think we shouldn't get too carried away with that 3-1 win at Liverpool, because as anyone who watched that game will know, Liverpool dominated the opening exchanges at Anfield, should really have scored the opening goal. And if that goal goes in, it's a totally different game. Villa were able to catch Liverpool repeatedly on the counter-attack. They wouldn't have been able to do that if Liverpool had been leading. So while that was a very impressive win, and while Christian Benteke is fast becoming one of the most impressive young players in the Premier League, I do think they will hit a bit of a brick wall at Chelsea. Chelsea have won 4 of the last 5, scoring plenty of goals. I think they've scored 17 goals in the last 5. Torres has got 6 of those. So they do look a bit better under Rafa Benitez. He worked on the defence first. Now he's working on the attacking side of things. I think it could be a bit of a watershed moment for them, that midweek cup win at Leeds United. 1-0 down at half-time. Looked as though it was going to be a damaging defeat, but they scored five goals without reply in that second half. So, I think Chelsea probably will come out and win that one rather comfortably.
And I believe our illustrious leader, Johnny Gould, has been speaking to a former England player.
He has indeed, yes. Our man Johnny Gould has caught up with the former England defender, Neil Ruddock, who's working as an ambassador for betbutler.co.uk, official betting partner of the Football League. So let's catch up with that interview now.
Let's talk two of the promoted sides in the Premier League from the Football League, of course, Southampton and West Ham. Another two of your former clubs. After a slow start, Nigel Adkins is perhaps getting things right there. I'd like to hear your opinion on why the difference now, Southampton suddenly. And West Ham, really, they've come out the traps. Yeah. And they might even have ambitions of European football.
I think the Southampton situation is, you know, there's everyone's favourites to go down. I mean, it was tough. They come up twice, two promotions, and all of a sudden you're in the Premiership with most of the players that were in the Football League 2 years ago. But it's, as I say, the thing that goes against them is always a lovely place to go. St Mary's is a lovely stadium to go down. You know, for the away team to go down there and play, you walk out and think, this is nice to come and play. And not like the old Delwell I used to play in. Mm-hmm. We used to get in the top 10 every year. We used to beat the best down there. But I think it's a learning curve for most of the players. You know, it's a tough league. And I think some of them might have thought it's got a lot easier because they've got two promotions, a lot easier than it really is. You know, you make a mistake in the Premier League, it's a goal against you. You know, if you don't take your chances, you don't win games. So, I think it was a learning curve, but they're getting there, and I think they'll survive.
Our man Johnny Gould there with the former England defender Neil Ruddock. Well, we'll finish today by looking back on an extraordinary Test Series victory for England, their first Test Series win in India since 1985. England were 1-0 down in the series at one stage, but they came back to win the series 2-1. They got a draw in Nagpur in the fourth and final Test centuries from Jonathan Trott and Ian Bell, comfortably seeing out that Test. We'll get Russell's thoughts on the series win in just a little while, but first let's hear from the England Test captain, Alistair Cook.
Look, it's been an incredible tour, and you know, I can't praise the guys enough, you know, the whole squad, who's, I think everyone's pretty much played a game, and it's, you know, I can't praise them enough for their effort and willingness to learn and to front up to what is a very tough challenge out here.
Alistair Cook leading from the front. He was named man of the series, quickest player to ever reach 7,000 Test runs, more centuries for England at Test level than any other player in history. And he's 27 years of age. An extraordinary young man.
Yeah, very, very impressive stuff, Kev. It has to be said. And very much rewarded and deserving of that accolade as player of the series. What interests me as well, though, is you look at how several players struggled early on in that series from England's point of view, while others looked in tip-top form. And as Cook lost a little bit of momentum toward the end of the series, others who'd started badly came in and delivered. So you look at Cook, Peterson, Panesar, those kind of guys that started the series well. But then Trott, Bell, players that had struggled at the start, finished it strongly. Graham Swan grew into the series as it went on. Jimmy Anderson, incredibly consistent throughout. So it pleased me greatly that pretty much 1 to 11 plus the other two or three that featured, so of the sort of 14 players that were England's core during that Test series, at some point all of them dovetailed and delivered. And I think that bodes very, very well indeed.
Coming up, back-to-back Ashes series. In theory, in about 18 months' time, Alistair Cook could be looking back at two Ashes series wins and a win in India as captain. He might as well retire after that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? But let's not forget, obviously, Kev, the old Baggy Green are doing their best to kind of get themselves back on track as well. They had a good first Test victory against Sri Lanka in Hobart in Tasmania this week on the back of their rather disappointing South Africa series defeat. But with Ponting gone, with Phil Hughes back in the team, and some players like Peter Siddle coming back from injury and looking sharp and hungry, Mitchell Starc, the young fast bowler as well, the Aussies, I think, will win that series against Sri Lanka and move onwards and upwards for what should be a brilliant Ashes summer ahead. And of course, well before that, we've got England back in India at the start of January for the One Dayers, and the T20 campaign on at the moment. A very young, inexperienced side under Owen Morgan lost game one. We look forward to game two on Saturday.
Yes, they did indeed lose that first game in Pune by 5 wickets. England made 157 off their 20 overs, which was a little disappointing after a solid start. And the stand-in skipper, Owen Morgan, deputising for the injured Stuart Broad, was disappointed, but he says there is scope to win that second game.
I think we lacked a bit of discipline with our batting. We got off to an absolutely great start. Tremendously young side, and the guys showed a lot of promise tonight. So we'll have to pick ourselves up from here and hopefully in 2 days' time produce a win.
Momentum is important in sport, and England obviously had the momentum of that Test series win, and they started that first 2020 match well. How important do you think the 2020s are in terms of maintaining the momentum of the whole unit?
On the whole, I'd say pretty important, Kev, but I think this particular little mini-series, not so much. I think we look at the fact that several England key stars are being rested, the likes of Peterson, Jimmy Anderson, Swan. I think that's a very, very wise move from the England management. You just don't want player burnout when you're playing so many matches all around the world with the important Ashes year to come. So the fact that young players have come in, like Alex Hales, who got a 50 and was pretty impressive. Josh Butler chipped in again. Luke Wright had another chance and played pretty well with bat and ball, which is promising. So I think give some of the younger T20 and one day specialists a chance. Everybody knows this is a weakened side, and if they can compete and learn for the future, that's all well and good. But on this particular instance, I don't feel it's going to have a major bearing on the bigger picture.
Okay, that's it for this week. Thank you to Russell and indeed Johnny Gould for their contributions this week. This is the last podcast before Christmas, so enjoy yourselves over the festive period. It's goodbye for now.
And tuck into some turkey.